Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
DJ Khaled! Yeah. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there.
Winners. Welcome everyone once again, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on a fine Sunday, football Sunday, the 16th of September, week two of the NFL regular season, week two of fantasy football season, and that's who I am, that's who I'm going to be talking about. You're talking with JT, a.k.a. The Master. This is The Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say that again, 347-637-3220. Fantasy football is what I'm going to be talking about. If you'd like to talk about it, give us a call. If you'd like to chat about it, the chat room is open. You can put your comments in there. You can put your statement in there, question. I'm talking about, like I said, I keep on saying the same thing as fantasy football. We're going to be breaking down every game, all the players that I think are going to be relevant in each of these games, just like I did last week. I'm going to recap briefly of the games last week, some of the players that I highlighted near the end of the show, to see if how well I did or how screwed up I am. To see if I knew what I was talking about or I'm full of it. And based on that, whether you'll listen to me or not. Because I know the deal. The first time I put you in a dumper in fantasy football, you're going to blow me off. But that's okay. Because even supposedly the best of them, on all the big programs online that you watch, they don't get it all perfect either. You don't blow them off. You come back and you listen to them. Give me the same respect. I'm not perfect. If I was, I wouldn't be on this earth. But I try to do the best I can with the what I got. Anyway, let's get into recapping very briefly some of the players I highlighted near the end of the show, and see how well I did. Let's go on the quarterback. I only highlighted one quarterback last week that he is making his first start against a strong opponent. He was making it at home, so he had that advantage. Against a weak pass defense, he had that advantage. He did okay. He got hurt, but he did okay. I'm talking about Jake Locker. He did okay. He didn't do anything fantastic. He had 23 completions out of 32 attempts. He also had 229 yards. He threw for a touchdown. Okay? Now, I had said in my prognostication, and when I pull it out here, that I thought he would roughly do something like that. Now, I thought he was going to give you two touchdowns. He only gave you one. He rushed twice for 11 yards. And like I said, he got hurt in the game. So, and the reason he got hurt is because he threw an interception, and he tried to tackle the person who intercepted or whatever was involved in it, and he hurt his non-throwing shoulder. He should be okay this week to play. I'm going to recap. I mean, we're going to go over those games and see if I'm going to stick with Jake Locker or have you sit him this time. Also went and talked about the running backs. First one I talked about was Doug Martin. I had said in my prognostication that I thought Doug Martin would get about 80 yards and a touchdown, probably three or four catches, 20 or so yards. Well, Doug Martin didn't get a touchdown. I'm sorry about that. He had 24 carries for 95 yards. Not bad for a rookie. Not bad. I thought he at least get in the end zone, but he didn't. I also talked about Ryan Williams and the Arizona Cardinals going up against the Seattle Seahawks at home. Well, Ryan Williams didn't have a good day at all. He stunk. So I stunk on that pronostication. He only had 8 carries for 9 yards. He got two catches for 17 yards. So he did not have a good day. So my bad on that. Like I said, I'm only going by, I wouldn't say going by what I see. That's partially what I go by. But I'm going by information I gather from different sources and also what I see. The other running back I went with was Vic Ballard. He didn't have a good day. I mean, the mainly carries were going to Donald Brown. But I wouldn't immediately throw him away if you have to sit him on your bench. Donald Brown is not a world beater. Vic Ballard has a little bit more zip in his step. So I would stash him still in on your bench. He only had 4 carries for 6 yards. Not good at all. Let's move on to the wide receivers. I had it, and I'm only going by what the ones I highlighted near the end of the show, which was I already went to the quarterback, I already went to running backs, and I'm going to the wide receivers. Torrey Smith is one of the guys I like because of the change in the offensive direction that the Ravens have gone with a hurry-up, more up-tempo offense. I thought he was going to get a touchdown. That's the only thing. He got two catches for 57 yards. So, like, everyone knows he's a big play wide receiver. He averaged a little bit more than 28 yards a catch. That's the problem with big play wide receivers. If they don't score a touchdown, you're only getting the yards. And if you don't get a lot of catches, and it doesn't equate to a lot of points. And I also talked about Steve Smith from St. Louis. He only had 1 catch for 16 yards. So I'm not doing too well on the wide receivers and some of the running backs of that name. But when I went to the tight ends, and I had talked about this the year before, especially the year before when Hernandez and Aaron Hernandez and Ron Gronkowski came on the scene in New England, that there was a shifting of the thinking of the tight end and more tight ends are going to be used. Well, I told you I like 2 tight ends, and the 2 tight ends I highlighted near the end of the show was Kyle Rudolph from the Minnesota Vikings, who had 5 catches for 67 yards. Unfortunately, he didn't get into the end zone, which I thought he would. Then he would have had a real nice day for a tight end. In PPR, this is equates to about 11 points, which is not bad for a tight end. But if he had gotten a touchdown, that would have been even better. I still like this guy. I still think he's going to be a resource, especially the tight end position, for some fantasy points. Consistently on a week-to-week basis. So I'm still high on this guy. And the other one, Jared Cook, he didn't get into the end zone, but he had 4 catches for 64 yards. If it's a standard league, quite naturally, it's only 6 points because you don't count the receptions. If it's a PPR, that's 10 points. That's still a decent day for a tight end. Getting 10 points, double digits out of your tight end is not bad at all. If he had a touchdown, quite naturally, that upped it a little bit more. But double digits from a tight end position is not bad. That's pretty much what you want. I mean, you would like to have huge number, high double digit numbers like 15, 16 and up. But 10 points and up for a tight end is good production from a tight end. There you have it. The players that I highlighted near the end of the show. that I thought would do well, and some of them are clunkers, and some of them are showroom type guys that you would keep around. Anyway, let's move on to the week that's going to come up. We have the games on Sunday. We also have the Monday night game, and I'm also going to try to give you something on the Giants and Panthers. Okay, so I'm adding something in here. I'm adding, rather than 16 games, I'm giving you 17 games, and so I'm giving you the Thursday night also. So you just keep that in the back of your head. You write it down or whatever. You keep that in your back of your mind. Write it down, and when Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday comes up, or Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever, you can probably try to target these guys or whatever, whoever's going to be the Thursday night game, and maybe get a head start against your opponent for the next week. Anyway, let's move on to the first game that we're going to be talking about, and that would be the Chiefs versus the Buffalo Bills. And Buffalo, how's that? Okay. First of all, I'm going to start at the quarterback position with Matt Castle. I wouldn't play Matt Castle in this game. I'm pretty sure you have better alternatives. We're starting with Kansas City, quite naturally. I expect from the game that Jamaal Charles had on last week, I expect Jamaal Charles to have an even bigger game this week. Even non-PPR, he's going to get in double digits. I see him getting a touchdown. The timeshare is still going to be in effect, but Jamaal Charles only benefits from that, and I think that he should have over 100 yards, and like I said, I see him getting into the end zone. Peyton Hillis, he may only get – he's a plotter. He's not a really big play threat here. I see him getting maybe 50 yards at the most. He may not even get that many receptions also. I would not play Peyton Hillis in this game. I know this is supposed to be a 50-50 split, but I don't think Peyton Hillis is going to do Hills being worth a thing anything in here. That same goes for Tony Moriaki. To me, he's a sit. I don't see anything big, prolific coming out of Tony Moriaki. Dwayne Bowe, if you like 12 points, 13 points in a PPR, five catches, a little more than 60 yards, then you play Dwayne Bowe. Same thing with Dexter McCluster. He's going to be incorporated more into wide receiver too. Excuse me, he's in the slot position. Supposedly he caught quite a few passes and was targeted quite a few times last game. Hold on, man, I got a call from the 919. Let me bring this caller in. Caller from the 919. Welcome to the Master Plan. You're talking to the Master. State your name. What you got to say? I'm listening.
I told you Stanford was going to be USC.
Hello?
Yeah, I said.
I can barely hear you.
Jerry, it's me.
I can barely. You got to talk up.
All right, hold on, Jerry. Can you hear me now?
All right. Jerry. You're very low.
All right. I'm gonna call you right back, Jerry. I don't know what's up with the phone.
Okay.
I'm sick.
No problem.
All right.
Okay. All right. I think that sounded like Vic, if I'm not mistaken. I could have sworn it was Vic. He's going to call right back. He's going to rub it in my face because I said I like USC and also like Tennessee. I'm not really a big college football person. I was just giving an opinion off the cuff. I hope nobody took it to heart. But Tennessee got thoroughly beaten by Florida, and Stanford beat USC by a touchdown, if I do believe. So I think Vic's going to be calling me back, telling me I told you so. But that's fine. You know, I, like I said, I'm not perfect. Anyway, what I'm talking about, Dwayne Bowe, Dexter McCluster, supposedly the offensive coordinator from the Kansas City Chiefs is going to include Jonathan Baldwin Moore into the offense. I have to see it to believe it. I don't think he's going to get that much, maybe three, four receptions, 50 yards. Jonathan Baldwin is still a sit on the bench and wait and see for me. Let me bring this caller in real quick, and then we can go from there. Welcome, Mr. FSP. How you be?
I'm good. You want to talk about it now?
No. What the hell's wrong with your phone?
Dude, it's not my phone. I'm sick. I'm just sick.
Oh, are you talking directly into the phone? Because you're extremely low.
Yeah, dude.
I'm sick. That's what it is.
Oh, that's better. What are you doing? That's better.
Well, I had to sit up. I had to sit up a little bit. But no.
Okay.
I just wanted to let you know. You know, I told you Stanford was going to beat USC, and I'm listening to the starts and sits and stuff like that. And
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying I actually have a team where I had McCluster and Jonathan Baldwin on the same team. And I dropped Baldwin because I'm not certain that Romeo Crennel is that taken in by what he's able to do.
Okay. Like I said, he's still a wait and see for me. If you have him on the bench, if you have a better alternative, you, quite naturally, you grab it. But if you don't, I would sit him on the bench. And wait and see how they're going to use him. Supposedly, like I said, from what I've been reading, Brian Daboll, whatever the heck his name is, the offensive coordinator, supposedly is going to get him more involved. So that's why I say it's a wait and see. See if they're going to get more involved, or it's going to be business as usual, as it was in the first game. And then that's definitely, if that happens, then Dexter McCluster is not going to be much of a factor, because you only can feed so many mouths. But like I said, you have to wait and see. I like Dexter McCluster this week. I think he can do something this week. I don't think he's going to get in the end zone, but I think he's going to be targeted in the slot and moved all around the field, just like they did with. Just like they do with Darren Sproles. Like I said, you have to wait and see on Jonathan Baldwin, in my opinion. I mean, you pulled the trigger and got rid of him. I don't know who you picked up in his replacement, but who did you pick up in his stead?
I got the kid from Washington to take his place because, again, like I said, I had McCluster already, but I put McCluster in my lineup. Because right now, that particular team, I have Matt Schaub, Arian Foster, Steven Jackson, MJD, Brandon Marshall, McCluster, Antonio Brown, Owen Daniels, Texans defense, and St. Louis's kicker as my starters. But
what league is this?
Remember the league that I was drafting just before we did our draft live on the air?
The league full of dummies.
yeah. And on my bench,
I hate to say it like that, but the league full of dummies, because if you got all those players, what were they drafting? They pulling quarterbacks. That's what they sound like.
Uh-huh.
Quarterbacks, Jimmy Graham and Gron Gronkowski. That's what they probably keyed on it and screwed up so much that you reap the benefits, because that's crazy.
Well, yeah, no, my
did you win last week?
Rob. Yeah, of course. I'm on
$50. Okay. Well,
folks, they want to bet me weekly, and I'm like, okay, that's fine. We can bet weekly. I have no problem with that. I'm going to win the overall pot. I'm going to win weekly too. So.
Oh, okay. Well, let me get through this real quick. Anytime you want to jump in, just jump in. I want to go on to the Buffalo Bills side. I would not play Ryan Fitzpatrick. He is definitely not a starter in my opinion. I know this is home opener, but I wouldn't play him. C.J. Spiller is a definite play for me. He is a big-time back, tons of speed, tons of ability, can catch the ball, can run the ball, just my typical type of running back, a dual-threat running back. I see him getting over about 120 yards. I do see him getting a touchdown. He's going to get about two or three catches, maybe 30, 40 yards. Fred Jackson quite naturally hurt. C.J. Spiller is going to be the man. Stevie Johnson is the other one that I like in this game. He's going to get about six catches, probably about around 80 yards. They do have a very good defensive backfield in Kansas City, so I'm not exactly sure who else can come out of that. Donald Jones is going to be pushed more into the slot, if I'm not mistaken, because of David Nelson has got an ACL and he's out for the rest of the year. So it's a wait and see on how Donald Jones is going to be used. But the two guys, C.J. Spiller and Stevie Johnson, are definitely Stevie Johnson is probably a wide receiver two. C.J. Spiller is a RB. Two in this game, in my opinion. He's an RB2. And I got Black on the line. Let me bring him in. Welcome, Black, to the Master Plan.
What's going on? What's going on, man? I had some questions. I wasn't getting any love in the chat, so I had to call in.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yes, I got Michael Vick and Flacco going head to head today. I had both of these guys in the league. Who should I start today?
Michael Vick and Joe Flacco. You know what? Because the fact is, they're going against each other. So
No. Who is he taking in the lead?
Excuse me?
Who are you facing in the lead? Meaning, who is your opponent putting up against you?
I have no idea. I don't worry about my opponent.
I don't worry about that either. Why would you worry about that, Vic?
The reason why I say that is because if you have Drew Brees going against you, you know Drew Brees is going to throw a lot. You know Drew Brees is going to get a lot of points. Because both of his quarterbacks are going against each other, you want to get the one that's going to do more damage. Like you said, Jerry, Flacco's going to throw the ball a lot more this year, and maybe he will, maybe he won't. You know you can't run that well on Baltimore, so Vic might be throwing it again and taking advantage of their DBs.
I understand that, but Vic's got problems with his wide receivers. His wide receivers are hurt. Deshaun Jackson and Macklin have health issues. And even if one of them plays, they're still down a starting wide receiver. I'd rather go with the offense that is running a sugar land, a sugar offense or a high-tempo offense versus a quarterback that's got wide receivers who have health issues and probably are not going to be 100% even if they do play. Joe Flacco is my play, man.
Flacco?
Joe Flacco.
And I have one other question. I got the Redskins is supposedly second wide out, Aldrick Robinson. I understand the Garcon is going to be out today. Do I flex him in any plays today? Or should I just take a wait-and-see approach until next week?
Ooh.
This is Master Plan. I'm going to answer that, but I got an answer for you.
Ooh. Let me see. Who's Washington's playing who? St. Louis?
St. Louis.
Playing the Rams today.
They're playing the Rams today. Young wide receiver against an experienced
His body is unlikely to start today, Garcon. I don't even think Garcon to play today.
He'll be the next receiver up,
along with Moss.
Griffin targeted him a lot when Garcon was out of there. You know what? You know, I would play him for the simple reason he's going to get a lot of targets over Santana Morris. I think I would play him black for that reason, because I think Griffin's going to definitely target him. It's a mirror of the last game. So I think he's going to get targeted a lot. Target equals opportunities, which equals more chances to catch the ball. So I would put him. Where would you want to put him at, in your flex?
Just in the flex. I wouldn't start him as a regular starter, but just in the flex
option. I think I would take roll the dice with him. What's your other alternatives?
There you go.
No alternatives.
Well, you answered your own question then.
Exactly.
You answered your own question then.
Hell black. What are you smoking, dude?
And I will put him in the flex and roll with it. And he's going to target him like he did last game, just like I said, because when Garcon was out of there, he was the beneficiary of that. So I would go with it, yeah. I don't know what Vic has to say about that.
No, I was going to – the same question you just asked him, the same question I was going to ask him, he doesn't have any options. What's the question? You put him in. Now,
I mean, I have options, but, those guys don't have good matchups.
Well, I'll tell you right now, the big beneficiary of that is going to be Fred Davis, because I know Aldrich is a good player last week, but St. Louis doesn't have that bad of a defense, and maybe they're going to be blitzing RG3 a lot, and he's going to have to run for his life. So I think he's going to try to dump the ball off Fred Davis a lot. But if you don't have any other options, sure, yeah, put him in. He's going to get some targets. Santana, if Santana doesn't get any targets this week, that lets me know it's time to let Santana go for anybody that owns him, because they're skewing young. Like Jerry said on yesterday's show, Leonard Hankerson might be somebody you might want to look at as well, because he's getting the opportunity today to play as well. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks for your help. I'm about to go
no
on
problem.
Mute because I have breakfast here, so let me eat my breakfast.
Good luck. Hey, Black. How was that advice I gave you about Sproles? How did it work out last week?
Oh, I had so many running backs that I didn't even need Sproles.
Okay.
I think I was up like 40 or 50 points.
Okay, I mean, I don't even know how Sproles did, tell you the truth. I can find out, but because
he
I
had,
had,
he had a
one
touchdown.
Of my
he had a touchdown about 40 yards rushing.
Yeah, he had a good game because I got him in another league too.
Okay, good enough. You can go on mute. Enjoy your breakfast.
All right, thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
All right, well, here we go. We're going to Cleveland at the Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals lost to the Ravens. Handily last week. They're going against a rookie quarterback again. This is his second start, but this is a division rival on the road. Brandon Whedon didn't look too good last week. He won't look too good this week. Cincinnati's going to send the kitchen sink after him to make him make mistakes, which he will do. He'll have less than 200 yards. He's going to have at least a one pick, maybe two, in this game. So don't even think about putting Whedon in here. To play, if you're going to play anybody on the Cleveland Browns team, it would be the running back, and hopefully the running back does a little better than he did last week. I'm talking about Trent Richardson. He didn't have that much to in training camp, so he's trying to get in game shape, playing the game, more or less. So he's probably getting 70 to 80 yards on the ground. I don't look for him to get into the end zone. In fact, I don't look for any of these players. I'd be very surprised any of these players, Muhammad Masuqua, Josh Gordon, and Greg Little, the wide receivers, or Benjamin Watson, the tight end. It's a toss-up, a coin toss, if any of these guys get into the end zone at all. This offense is a work in progress, a real work in progress. And on the other side, Andy Dalton. Cleveland's got a pretty good pass defense, especially DBs. So they're going to have a hard time, a difficult time passing the ball, meaning Cincinnati passing the ball. But Andy Dalton should get at least one touchdown in here. He's probably going to throw for a little over 200 yards. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis should have a very good day here. He's an RB2. He should rush for over 100 yards, and I see him getting in a touchdown. AJ Green is going to probably be shadowed by Joe Hayden. If Joe Hayden suspended or not, Vic? Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Vic?
Hayden is suspended.
Okay, so AJ Green should have a pretty good day, minus Joe Hayden. So,
He's got Pac-Man.
I've seen him about five.
They've got Pac-Man and Newsom. So,
Pac-Man.
That's Cincinnati. I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you. AJ Green should have a pretty good day, about five catches, 80 yards. I see him getting into the getting a touchdown. I also see, and I talked about him last week, I'll talk him again this week, Jermaine Gresham. He's going to get about 40 yards, about four catches, somewhere around there. And I also have an idea that he may get into the end zone also. So Cincinnati, they had a bad game and lost against Baltimore. They're going to make amends for it against their division rival, who's very weak on the offensive side of the ball, and with those players. Let's move on to the Battle of the Putrid. That would be the Minnesota Vikings against the Indianapolis Colts. Christian Ponder, second-year player, going against the first-year player, Andrew Luck. Christian Ponder is, if you're in a two-quarterback league, he can be a QB2. Let me put it that way. If you play two quarterbacks, you can put Christian Ponder in there because he should be able to throw against this Indianapolis defense. He's going to have a little over 200 yards, and I see him getting about a couple touchdowns. Adrian Peterson should run amok. If he showed anything like anything better than he showed last week when he had two touchdowns, he should run amok in this one, about 120 yards, at least one touchdown. They're going to definitely give it to him. Kyle Rudolph, he didn't get into the end zone, which I guaranteed last week. Kyle Rudolph is going to be involved in his offense, and I like him a lot, and I think he's going to get into the end zone also. So four catches, about 40 yards, somewhere around there, and possible touchdown. That's what I like about Kyle Rudolph. Percy Harvin should absolutely have a good day here. There's no one that can pretty much keep up with Percy Harvin. Eight catches, probably close to 100 yards. I also see him getting into the end zone. excuse me. I tell you what, one more game, game three, the Minnesota Vikings have another wide receiver, Jerome Simpson. Just all I can tell you is this, that where he's available and I'm weak in wide receiver, I suggest picking him up and stashing him because Jerome Simpson was a nice hookup for Andrew Luck, for Christian Ponder when he was in the lineup, when he was playing in offseason. So I'm telling you, Jerome Simpson can be a sleeper wide receiver, two or three, and you can pick him up on the cheap because he's hasn't been playing, so a lot of people are not thinking about him. Anyway, on the other side, Andrew Luck, he's a definite play for me. This is a very bad pass defense, especially in the defensive backfield for Minnesota. Andrew Luck should be able to pass through here. He'll probably get a pick because he's a rookie. He probably will get a pick. But I see him throwing for 250 to 300 yards in this game, a couple touchdowns. Along with his running back, Donald Brown, who I don't think is going to be doing that well in this game. I don't think he's going to be rushing the ball that well. I keep on saying, I'll say it last week, I'll say it again this week. They have a backup who's a direct backup of Vic Ballard, who's a rookie. They like this kid a lot. Not enough to start him yet, but by midseason, I have a funny feeling that you'll be hearing about Vic Ballard versus Donald Brown. So just keep that in mind. I said it last week, I'll say it again this week. Kobe Fleener and the other tight end. Kobe Fleener is probably quite naturally is going to be Andrew Luck's BFF because that's who he likes when he's playing at Stanford. I see him getting about 5 or 6 catches, 60 yards. In my opinion, he's a start. You could start Kobe Fleener in this game. Minnesota historically is a piss poor opponent against the tight end. Kobe Fleener is a definite start in here. If you don't have any of the big-name tight ends, this is a guy to put in there because Andrew Luck will be thrown to this guy, and this is a defense to be thrown against because they play the tight end position poorly, against the tight end position poorly. Quite naturally, the main target on this team is Reggie Wayne, who came through last week with over 100 yards. He'll do it again this week. About 8-9 catches because he gets a lot of targets, which equals opportunities. He should get over 100 yards, and I see him getting a touchdown. And that's about it for that game. Vic, you got any comments on it before I go any further? Or you sleep? Vic? Hello, Victor? Victor?
Yeah,
you must be asleep.
I'm good. No, I'm not asleep.
I can barely hear you, man.
That's how sick I am, dude. My voice is going away and some other stuff, man.
I'm sorry. Hey, man. Hey, you got to man up. You tell your wife turn that freaking air conditioning down.
Shut up, dude.
Turn that air conditioning down.
I already did, man. I did. That's why I'm sleeping up here in the bedroom by myself. You know, hot and whatnot. I'm like, whatever. Me and my dog are in here. And my dog
okay. Has
been fool, but I've been sick I don't know what.
Your old dog? Your new dog?
Oh, dude, the story on that side note, sidebar. We went to go adopt the dog, right? And we get there,
right.
And apparently the dude that was bringing the dog for adoption, he comes and tells the lady that he's taking the dog to the hospital. Well, we didn't know this. So we're like,
mm-hmm.
It's 2 o'clock. It's supposed to be at 1:30. So I talked to the lady, and she says, she calls him, and the dude tells her that they had to put the dog down. And I'm like, are you serious? But they put him down because he apparently was having some type of anxiety attack on the way from Sacramento up here to Dublin. And he panicked or whatever. He had 106-degree temperature. They tried to ice him, and then instead of that, they said his brain was fried, so they put him down.
Wow.
I know,
wow.
Dude. I know. That's what I was saying.
Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Wow. All right. Let's segue into New Orleans against Carolina. How's that? Anyway.
I hope you don't have to put your co-host down this morning.
You know what? I ain't that sick, damn it. I ain't that sick. Shut up.
Okay, let's go to New Orleans versus Carolina. In Carolina, Drew Brees doesn't have the same statistics that he has in New Orleans as he does on the road. So, even though he may throw for 300 yards and a couple touchdowns, at home he averages a little bit more than that. I see him also throwing a pick. The absence of Sean Payton shows his effect in this game. Again, Darren Sproles, I don't know if he's going to be as effective in this game as he was in the first game. I have a question about whether Darren Sproles is going to be that. He may get the receptions and the receiving yards. I don't know if he's going to get into the end zone. So I'm talking about five receptions, about 40 or 50 yards, somewhere around there. I'd be surprised if he gets into the end zone.
Can I say something on that? Okay,
yeah.
Darren Sproles is a nightmare matchup for those linebackers in North Carolina. Those guys are downhill, like Coopsley. They're downhill, I'm going to smash. They're not designed to chase that kid all around the field. They're probably going to try to sledgehammer Mark Ingram a little bit in this game, but I'm telling you, Sproles is dynamite. He got me 11.8 points last week, but I benched MJD because I didn't know if he was going to take over. But anyway, I think Sproles, if you don't have a better option, I would play him. Like, if you're going to choose between him and D'Angelo Williams and Stewart and Mike Goodson or whatever, I'd definitely play, Darren Sproles.
Okay.
Because you just don't know what you're going to get in Carolina's backfield.
I definitely have to agree with that. I'll definitely agree with that, comparing it to what you're talking about on the opposite side in with Carolina. And quite naturally, you got Pierre Thomas, Mark Ingram. You don't know what these guys are going to do. It's a toss-up because it's a mismatch of players that they use in a running back position. Jimmy Graham is a staple, 5 to 6 catches, 80 yards, and more than likely he'll get into the end zone. Marcus Colson pretty much is a staple, 5 to 6 catches, about 60, 70 yards. You never know if he's going to get into the get into the end zone or not. Same thing with Lance Moore. He does get targeted more in the end zone. For the most part, Lance Moore does, it's a crapshoot between Marcus Colson and Lance Moore who gets the touchdowns from week to week. So that's all I can say about that. Cam Newton is a must start. You got to start him against this piss poor New Orleans defense, especially playing at home. He should get about 300 yards, couple touchdowns. He's going to be rushing the ball, probably 40, 50 yards. If they're anywhere near the goal line, I'd much rather have banked my money on Cam getting a rushing touchdown versus these three running backs, D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart, if he plays, or Mike Tolbert. Greg Olsen should get a decent amount of receptions along with yardage. I don't know about getting into the end zone. The main target for Cam Newton is Steve Smith, who should get about 6-7 catches, about 80 yards, and has a strong chance of getting into the end zone because New Orleans, like I said, is a very bad pass defense, very bad, as evidenced by what RG3 sliced and diced them last week. I can see them doing that with Carolina at home. Brandon LaFell is a sneaky pick. He could be a flex if you want to use him, or a wide receiver 3. He's going to get about 4 or 5 catches, maybe 70, 80 yards in there. I see him being a sneaky play somewhere if you need a wide receiver. Let's move on to the Texans and the Jaguars. You got about 15 minutes. We're going to be definitely going overtime. I want to try to get all these games in, and got quite a few games. So we're going to go to Houston, Texas versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'll say it over and over until someone listens. Jacksonville plays lights out, plays like the world champions at home versus on the road. And this is a division rival. And I expect them to put up a stout defense against this. I don't know about the offense. Quite naturally, Houston's defense is a good play for me in here against Blaine Gabbert. I would definitely play the Houston defense in this position. First off, Matt Schaub, I don't know how much he's going to do in this game. He should throw for over 200 yards. Probably a touchdown. I see Arian Foster having a good day here. Probably a one rushing touchdown, 80 to 100 yards in this game. Owen Daniels. Jacksonville is pretty good. Has a pretty good pass defense against the tight end, so I don't expect too much from Owen Daniels in this game. Maybe two or three receptions at about 40 yards is what I see. Hold on a minute. I got a call coming in here. Let's answer this call. Caller from the 952, welcome to the Master Plan. You're talking to the Master. State your name and what you got to say.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Seth from Speckless Sports and Blog Talk Radio. So we did our week one roundtable, and I just got finished up with a couple of radio shows. So, yeah, I'm a big football fan, Cowboys fan, but I'll be more than happy to help you. I think Houston should have a problem here. He should. The Texans should get this done. I mean, I don't see a problem here at all. I mean, that's their division. Here in the great state of Minnesota, Jacksonville, you know, they beat the little sister poor here in Minnesota, and they're all excited. I don't think Houston has a problem. That's their division to win. Jacksonville is like a fly on their butt. I think they get it done real simple and sweet and easy, and they win that game by a couple touchdowns.
Okay. Do you agree with me that Jacksonville plays better at home than they do on the road?
I agree. Well, of course, you're on grass. I totally agree with you. I think just like my Cowboys, I think when they beat beat the Giants at home, you don't lose at home in my mind. But I don't think they have the ability to win at home. They don't have the horses against Houston. Houston's a team that made the playoffs last year. I can even try to say it, sir, but at the end of the day, if you don't have the ability to do it, unlike the Giants had the ability last week, and Nancy Boy came in and got it done. So, and also you're talking about, I saw Flacco. I think the greedy seats of Baltimore go in the lands of animals and savages and beat the city brotherly shove as well. That'll be a good game. A lot of good games week two, but I don't think Houston has a problem on grass. I think they're just going to push him aside, just like it's just like Baby Maker and Video Cheater in New England. No matter where they play, your backyard, my backyard, they get it done.
Okay.
I don't think it's a problem. I don't see Houston have a problem, sir. I don't see that a problem. And I think RG3 also loses on the road in St. Louis. People got a little more excited because he beat New Orleans Saints, who I think are tanking this season for a reason to get a better draft choice. So I think RG3 gets beat. I think this, and I like him. I have all respect for both those guys. I don't hate players because, like a lot of people do. You know how it is in college. They follow the hatred through the ranks into NFL. So I like RG3. I think there's a lot of good games. I also think the cripple, he wins in Atlanta as well. 49ers, my Super Bowl pick, beats the kid. He's not a problem. And my Dallas Cowboys beat the cheater in Seattle without any question.
Well, my question is this. Why do you think that since you're on here, why do you think that St. Louis is going to beat the
I read the paper, and like I said, I'm a football fan first, and I like to read. You always look when players talk about, but they keep their head down. And Shanahan even said it's only week one. Like, Shanahan feels something happened in New Orleans. It was like oh my God, holy balls as a basketballs. And I just think Fisher is too smart, and Bradford is just too is going to step up. I think they find a way to beat him and keep him. Because he's a very poised gentleman, RG3 is. I think he's a phenomenal quarterback. He's like Vic, but he knows how to make better choices with the ball. I just think Fisher is smarter than the idiot over there in New Orleans. I think New Orleans is tanking this season. I think if New Orleans loses, I'm taking them to win today, but if I'm wrong and they beat the Panthers to win, there's an investigation in New Orleans. But I just think Fisher is going to out-coach, and I think he's going to confuse RG3, and he'll be on his back. He throws a couple pick sixes and come back down the sides, just like when the city of organized crime beat last week. Everyone was all excited when they beat Locke, and then the Packers lost to 49ers. 49ers played up, and I mean the Packers played up, and then Chicago played down. I don't think New Orleans is as good as they think they are, and I just think he's going to get a lesson taught. And everyone's taking RG3 because of the week one. Like, he's still a rookie. He's still a baby. All right, he's still learning how to walk, and he's got a great future. I would love to see, sir, in 5 years from the time you hear my voice, both those guys Super Bowl. I'm just saying your wild card is Mr. Fisher on the sidelines in St. Louis, and they're not on grass. They're going to be under the dome. I just think you got to give that home. I think they win by 10 points at the end. I don't know. Crazy things have happened. Okay, my Cowboys beat the Giants at home, all right, and now they could go to the cheater in Seattle and lose. But this is why me and you are talking national football game. Unlike pumpkin ball and baseball that lasts forever and wake me up when the World Series comes, okay? This is what it's all about. You know what I'm saying? Paint drying is boring. You know what I'm talking about. You know how it is. I mean,
yes.
Minnesota, Hamilton, Minnesota Twins are mediocrity here. Boston, fire Bobby Valentine. He's a square peg in a round hole. You get my point. When the World Series starts, wake me up and we'll talk. You know, right now it's the National. The one sport that matters most, NHL, my second best sport, is on strike. I'm turning my back, my Blackhawks and the troll Bettman. But this is week two, the fourth quarter. This is the first quarter of four quarters in the National League, and there's some must-win games. I think the Mile High Messiah is going to push Sanchez to the quarterback he can be. And they pushed the Steelers to 0-2 because they looked really slow. If you watched that game, how slow they were. They looked horribly slow. Really, really, really slow in the backfield. And I just think Tim Tebow, I like the guy. I think he's going to push. He's going to push Sanchez to win down in Steeler country. And then the panic ensues. They're 0-2. All right? So, but they lose in Pittsburgh. There's some serious problems out there. And the big oaf out there is going to get pushed around and sacked. And I think the offensive line for the Jets played well, just like my Dallas Cowboys. They're going to be a cohesive unit. It starts up front. Why do you think my Dallas Cowboys with Troy Aikman in the Hall of Fame? Why? Not because he's cute, because the offensive line did the job. It starts up front. You know what I'm talking about, so you're obviously a student in the game. It's the pushing forward or backward. And it's going to. And I think same thing with RG3. If they build around him in the career, he's going to have a long career. If you look at a lot of these quarterbacks get washed out, they don't start up front. If you have a good lineman, sir, you can find the running backs and the wide receivers in the third or fourth round to get open, all right, in the middle of the field.
Right.
So I want to ask you a question. I was watching that City of Organized Crime. They lost the Packers, okay? To me, it looks like Urlacher is old, obviously. He anticipates, like, you know, like when you're watching soccer, another boring sport, and when they do the penalty shot, they always anticipate, you know? Urlacher does the same thing.
Right.
You watch next game. He always goes in advance where he thinks he's going to go. And then guess what happens? He's one step behind. And also, in the black hole, crater face, New Orleans, regardless of the long snapper, the secondary for the Oakland Raiders were always one step behind. If Rivers could actually throw the ball better than me and you could have drunk in stupor, that game would have been 48-12.
Okay.
You're probably
right about that.
I'm serious. You watch that game, and they were always one step behind. And I Crater Face, I thought would be horrible this year. And I think the cripple is doing well, and I think they go into Atlanta. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of big games. Texans are a boring game, but I think that Jets game, Pittsburgh, if me and you could fly out right now, wiggle my nose, and beam me up, I would be in Pittsburgh with me in the 50-yard line watching the Jets embarrass the Pittsburgh Steelers or St. Louis. But I think my Cowboys got to go out and be the cheater in Seattle, because look at the cheater in Seattle. Look at the 49ers. They took the punk Randy Moss down there in 49ers. He came back for the ring. The parasite came back for the money, and he only lasted a couple days out there. And now they have Wilson hang on one more day, and they have a guy sitting aside making $10 million. So I'm going to tell you something. If he loses to my Cowboys and the Packers next week, I will ask for his job on my show. It will be tick, 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 tock. Mr. Carroll will be on his job will be in jeopardy, and the personal ass licker out there, Mr. Paul Allen, is going to find a different coach for the Seattle Seahawks, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well,
I
appreciate your call.
Anyone want to do another game? I'll follow along or not?
Okay. Let's do another game.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready.
I bet you are. You sound like you are.
I just did a 2-hour show with Bill Clinton and friends, man, because I did not have sexual relations with that Muslim, with that woman, Mr. Winsky, and we had a great show, man. So I'm ready to go, man. It's Bill Clinton. Let's do it.
Okay, we're going to go with the Arizona Cardinals versus the New England Patriots.
Jerry, do you need me?
No, here's another one. The baby maker and the video cheater can play no matter where they play. The baby maker, the video cheater, he hasn't won since he cheated and beat as his man. That's why he's lost two Super Bowls to Tommy Coughlin. I don't think they have a problem here. Arizona beat the cheater, and that's fine. But they're playing the baby maker in New England. They win if it's Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon. The baby maker sits back there, brushes his teeth, and they light him up like a Christmas tree on September.
Okay. all right. I appreciate your input. I'm going to move on, and I appreciate your call. How's that?
All right, you want me to move on or not? You want me to let me go then?
I'm going to let you go, okay?
All right, too bad. I was having a good time. All right, man, this is Speckley. It's Boy Speckley. You win. Talk to you later. Go Cowboys. Go, go, go. Have a great day. Remember, think a veteran. They're still sinking their teeth in the Middle East out there, okay? Think a veteran. Goodbye.
Okay. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Let's
ahead,
let's move on.
Go ahead. That
yeah,
was a
I'm
great
just
call,
I'm just trying to make sure. Huh?
That was a great call, by
excuse
the way.
Excuse me? Woo. Yes. Let's look at Arizona Cardinals and New England Patriots. Just like he said, I like Tom Brady in his game. I think this is going to be an easy game for the New England Patriots. I think Brady's going to have about 300 yards, two touchdowns. Stephen Ridley, he's going to get about 100 yards in this game. I had said earlier, two teams that were prolific passing teams, I think they were going to be starting to run the ball more. One of them was New England. The other one, what I said, was the Green Bay Packers, and that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to run the ball that much more to take the pressure off their quarterback because of both quarterbacks have issues with their offensive line and pass protect. So they need to run the ball a little bit more to take to make that a little bit more of a balanced offense. Even though they're a passing offense, I like Stephen Ridley. I think he's going to shine in this. As long as he can hold on to the ball, he's going to shine. And also the two tight ends in this game. They're going to get about the same, like I said last week, about 5 or 6 receptions between 60 and 80 yards apiece. And it's always a toss-up in these guys and who's going to get the touchdown. Wes Welker, I do believe, is going to get involved more in the passing game than he did last week. He's going to get about the ball's going to be going all over the place, and Brady's going to be satisfying all these mouths, including Wes Welker, about 80 yards. And I think he gets into the end zone this time. I think Wes Welker, besides his 7 receptions and 80 yards, I think he gets into the end zone. Brandon Lloyd's probably going to get about 5 catches, 70 yards. The only other player I would play in this game would be Larry Fitz. He's probably the only one. He seems to thrive regardless if it's Kevin Cobb or John Skelton, and it happens to be Kevin Cobb. 6-7 catches, 80, 90 yards, and he's probably the only one that probably gets into the end zone. I don't know if anybody or Vic, you got anything to say about that. We got about 2 minutes, a little bit more than 2 minutes left in the show, but we are definitely going over. Talk to me, Vic. You got anything to say, or you just let me move on?
Yeah, real quick. I think that Arizona is in a troublesome state because Kevin Cobb's going to do whatever he needs to do to keep that job. He's going to run. He's going to pass. He's going to try to make no mistakes. So, to me, that means he's not going to push the ball down the field. He's going to check down a lot, which can be a good thing and a bad thing. The Patriots have the number one defense right now, so we'll see what happens.
Yes, and the Patriots are a good play in this game, in my opinion. I meant to tell you that. They're a good play. If you went with the Bills defense last week and got chewed up just like I did, this is on the opposite side of the spectrum. You can grab the Patriots, and because of this offense, including the quarterback, it should be a good play, and you should be able to get maybe a few sacks and maybe one or two picks out of Kevin Cobb. Moving on to the Giants versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't like Josh Freeman in this game, even though the Giants have a weak defensive backfield. They do have a good pass rush, and even though I think Freeman's going to throw for a touchdown or two, you're playing with a fire here because you're in Giant Stadium, or MetLife Stadium to be exact. Doug Martin, I do like in here. I think he's going to get into the end zone. I think the Tampa Bay will be able to move the ball, and I do like this rookie, Doug Martin. He's going about 80 yards rushing and a touchdown. Vincent Jackson, because of the Giants' defensive backfield, and Mike Williams should be able to have a pretty good day. Hopefully, that as long as Josh Freeman is not hurried and can stay on his feet, Vincent Jackson can get about 4 or 5 receptions, about 70 yards. He is a wide receiver 2, in my opinion, in this game, and possibly getting to the end zone. Mike Williams about four catches, maybe 40 to 50 yards. That's about it for him, what I see. On the other end of the ball, Eli Manning is going to atone for what happened last week, and he's going to be throwing for over 300 yards. I think he's going to be throwing for about three touchdowns. Ahmad Bradshaw, I don't know what Tampa is in rush defense. They were one of the worst last year. It seemed like they have fixed the problem, but I still like Ahmad Bradshaw in this game. You got to prove it to me. Prove it to me again. I know they stifled the run game last week. Show me you can stifle the run game this week, and then I'll be a believer. But I do like Ahmad Bradshaw in this game, and I like the about 60, 70 yards, and I think he'll get into the end zone again. Martellus Bennett is a staple, but I don't see him doing too much in here. I like Victor Cruz and Hakeem Nicks in here. Victor Cruz is going to get over 100 yards, and I see him getting into the end zone. Hakeem Nicks, I see.
You're overselling the salsa boy.
Oh, boy. He had to jump in off the mute, huh? I see Hakeem Nicks about five receptions, about 80 yards. I'm sure about a touchdown for him. So I know Vic wants to jump in. I hear him with bated breath. Go ahead, Vic.
I can agree with you on some of the points, but I think Tampa's defense is a lot better than you're giving them credit for. Last week they did a number on the Panthers. They stifled Cam Newton passing and running, and you know the boy likes to run. And they gave up 10 or 11 rushing yards. 11 rushing yards.
That's what I'm saying.
And stuff like that. So my thing is their secondary is better with Barron back there. Their secondary is a whole lot better. Him and Tiki Barber back there together. I mean, not Tiki, Rondae Barber back there together. That's pretty daggone good, in my opinion. They're playing a version of the cover two or Tampa two where they're blitzing more. Aqib Talib is still there, if I'm not mistaken. So their secondary is not that bad. Victor Cruz probably will have a good game. I'm also looking for Vincent Jackson to have a good game as well. But, excuse me. Dallas Clark and Martellus Bennett, I think they're not going to be that big of a factor in this game. The Giants let Jason Witten or anybody have a good game, but I don't know. I think Tampa's defense is going to be they're going to show that they're a lot better than what you're giving them credit for. So,
well, that's why I was saying that. That's why I was saying that. I'm not sure if they fixed their defensive problems in the rush category. That's why I said show me a second time and then I'll be a believer. That's the reason why I said that, because I knew they stifled the running attack last week, which I was surprised. Let me see you do it again, and then I'll be a believer that you fixed your defense. I do believe they have, but show me again. If you can do it against Ahmad Bradshaw, and I'm not saying Ahmad Bradshaw is the world beater, but if you can do it against the Giant defense, Giant offense, then let me see, then I'll be a believer. Anyway, let's move to Baltimore and Philadelphia. This is a game that interests Black because he has the two quarterbacks that are in this game. I like Joe Flacco. I've been touting Joe Flacco when I found out or when I realized that they were running a hurry-up offense. That tells me that they're putting the ball more in the hands of the quarterback. They have more confidence in the quarterback, and they're going to open up the offense and throw the ball. Opportunity is abound when you start throwing the ball. I understand you can rack up interceptions, but you can also rack up big plays and touchdowns with those big plays. And I think Joe Flacco with his big arm, Torrey Smith, and Jacoby Jones on the other side, who's another quick guy, I think it's going to open up this offense and create a lot more big play scoring opportunities. I like Joe Flacco in this game. I know that the Eagles have a pretty good pass rush. They have some Pro Bowl defensive backs, but I still like Joe Flacco in this game. Hurry up is hurry up, and he showed me a lot last week against a not-too-bad Cincinnati Bengal team, which happened to be a division rival. Now, this is a team that barely won, I'm talking about the Philadelphia Eagles, last week against the Cleveland Browns team that was absolutely horrible. They better fix the problems that they had from last week because they're going up against the big boys this week against the Baltimore Ravens. So I like Joe Flacco a lot in this game. I also like Ray Rice a lot in this game. He's going to get about 85 to 100 yards, and he's going to get in the end zone. I'm not too sure about what the two tight ends are going to do. They're going to be involved, but I don't think they're going to be involved that much. I do like the wide receivers, Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin. I think they can make some big plays down here. And Anquan Boldin is going to roam the middle of the field along with the tight ends. And then Torrey Smith is the big play wide receiver. I see him getting into the end zone at least once. On the other end, Michael Vick is Michael Vick. He's going to throw for at least a touchdown and at least a pick in this game. Over 250 yards. LeSean McCoy is going to be able to run against a not-too-stout Baltimore Ravens defense. It's not like what they used to be. Look what Ben Jarvis Green Ellis did against them last week. And this is a much better back in LeSean McCoy that can do two things. He can catch the ball and run the ball. I see him getting into the end zone and getting some very good rushing yards and some decent receiving yards. Selleck, I think he's going to be instrumental because of the problems they have with the wide receivers. So I think he's getting about 5 catches, maybe 7 yards. Macklin, you don't know if any one of these receivers are going to play. It's a shaky play to me. The sneaky play here, if one of these guys goes down, is Jason Avant. Believe me, when I say this, I think that's going to be a sneaky play if Macklin or DeSean Jackson don't play in this game. I think one of them will not play. Jason Avant is a sneaky play in here. He's a flex play, a wide receiver 3 play, in my opinion. Okay? I don't know if you got anything to say, Vic, before I move on. Guess not. Okay.
No, I do not.
Okay. Let's move on to Vic's favorite guy, Robert Griffin III. Washington
now,
Redskins
see, why,
against
why
the.
Gotta provoke him? Why you got to provoke? Why do you got to provoke?
Washington Redskins.
It's not easy. Green. Whatever. Keep it moving. You know what?
Against the St. Louis Rams. This is a tricky game. I still go back and forth in here. I still believe St. Louis isn't as bad as people think. I really believe that. I think RG3 is going to have a decent game here. I think he's going to throw his first pick.
This is a blowout for the Rams.
Wow. I see RG3 having a decent game in here. He's going to throw for about 250. He's going to throw his first pick. We'll see how it handles. He's going to throw a pick in this game. I do believe that. He's going to get a touchdown. He may get two, but I think he's going to definitely throw a pick in here. I think the running back they settled on, I think they really like this kid unless he shows something different, is Alfred Morris. I don't think he's going to be playing musical running backs. I think they settled on a steady running back who's going to get the most touches, and that's Alfred Morris. I see him getting about 80 yards. I do see him getting into the end zone. I agree with my man who called earlier. I think Sam Bradford is going to have a good year, not an elite year, but I think he's going to come back and have a decent year. He's probably going to throw for about the same amount of yardage that Robert Griffin III throws for. He's probably going to throw for at least a touchdown. Along with that, Steven Jackson is going to run for about 70, 80 yards. I think he gets into the end zone. Amendola is a PPR, is the wide receiver to have, especially in PPR. That's BFF for Sam Bradford. I see him getting about 7 receptions and about 70, 80 yards. That's probably close to his standard. He gets a lot of targets equal opportunities, and I like Amendola to do that. All these other wide receivers are picking up the scraps. and including the tight end. So that's how I see that. I don't know if Vic, you have anything on that or not.
Of course I do.
Guess not?
Of course I do.
Okay.
So I do.
Okay, go ahead. I'm listening.
Black needs RG3 to perform well today, so he needs to shut his trap. I really think that it's going to be a tough game. I don't think he's going to actually throw an interception. I think Shanahan's going to probably run the ball more than people think, even though that's probably not the best move to do versus that defense. But Corlin Finnegan's going to have his hands tied up with Santana or Robertson. And
Santana doesn't tie anybody's hands up nowadays.
But regardless of that, I see Davis having a better game this week and being a focal point of their offense. So and I believe the Redskins do win this game and send St. Louis to 0-2.
Okay. Let's move on to Black's favorite team, the Dallas Cowboys against the Seattle Seahawks. Okay, Tony Romo is a definite play here, about 280 yards. I see him throwing at least a couple touchdowns in this game. You also played DeMarco Murray in this game. I see him having about 90 yards and a touchdown. This is supposedly a stiff Seattle defense, but I think the Cowboys can move the ball. In this, Jason Witten's a little bit another week healthier, 10 days healthier, let me put it that way, so no more. So I see him being almost his old self again. He's going to get 5 or 6 a reception, about 60, 70 yards, along with Miles Austin, about 67 yards. Dez Bryant also about the same amount, about 60 to 70 yards. You notice I didn't mention Mr. Ogletree in this. I have to wait and see whether Ogletree is going to duplicate or come close or even be a consistent contributor from week to week in this offense. So I grabbed him where he was available in one of my leagues, and I'm waiting to see if he's going to be a steady contributor before I even decide to put him in my lineup. On the other side, Russell Wilson is going to struggle again. He's a rookie, but he may throw for 200 yards. He may throw his the touchdown pass, but he may throw a couple picks in this also. Marshawn Lynch against this Dallas defense may run for 70, 80 yards. I don't see him getting into the end zone. Past that, these wide receivers, Sidney Rice is going to get targeted. 4 receptions, about 50, 60 yards. That's about it. All these other wide receivers are just going to be picking up scraps and not being able to really deal with the Dallas defense. There's not too much fantasy goodness here on the Seattle side, in my opinion. Let me put it that way. Anybody want to jump in there real quick before I move to the Raiders and Dolphins?
Of course I do.
Okay. Hello? Well, I don't hear a word you're saying. If somebody's talking.
Oh, I'm telling you, you gotta sit that guy down, man. I'm telling you, you gotta sit him down.
Shut up. No, I had it on mute because I'm coughing and whatnot, so I had to put it on mute.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
No, I was saying whoever is Claiborne is going to be covering. That's who you want from Seattle, honestly, because I think that that he's going to get picked on a lot today with double moves. I saw that the Giants did that, and they were successful. That's why they had a safety over top for him when he was covering Cruz and stuff. So I'm telling you, if it's Sidney Rice or Braylon Edwards, look for the double move on that side, and Wilson to go up top for him. And, again, Dallas has trouble with mobile quarterbacks. They have trouble with mobile quarterbacks. Just putting that out there. That's it.
Black, you want to respond to that or no? Nope. Okay, we'll move on to Oakland versus Miami. Carson Palmer wasn't too bad last week. He had to do a lot of checkdowns because of the rush and because of the
pass
defense.
I can't believe that he made Braylon Edwards relevant. What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
Hey, he was a favorite target.
What can
last
I tell
week.
You, Black?
He was a favorite target
what can
last
I tell
week,
you?
Dude.
Yes, he was.
Braylon game-winning, touchdown-dropping Edwards.
He had the most targets, well, yes.
He had the most targets. Targets equal opportunities. We don't discount the name. Targets equal opportunities. You're getting the targets, you're getting the ball thrown to you. That gives you an opportunity to make plays. And put points for your fantasy roster.
When that name comes from a mouth of somebody that needs to be put down, I have questions with that.
You know what? I can't wait to play. I just can't wait. I'm going to beat the brakes off of you, and I can't wait for you to join one of my leagues.
I heard that week one, didn't I?
Oh, you mother.
Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on, children. Let's move on. Oakland versus Miami. Carson Palmer, in this game, he's going to have about 250 yards, probably two touchdowns against this Miami team. But Carson's good for throwing at least a pick, so he's going to throw a pick in here. I like Darren McFadden to break out in this game. I think he's going to have a good game. I understand Miami has somewhat of a good rush defense. But they're going to get Darren McFadden because he's the focal point of this offense. They're going to get him going, whether it's running the ball or catching the ball in space. He's definitely going to be getting the ball, and he's going to thrive on the grass in Miami. Darius Haywood-Bey and it's supposedly Denarius Moore is going to be playing. I don't see Denarius Moore doing a whole lot. I think they're going to ease him into it because of his hamstring problems. I think it's hamstring. So he's probably going to get about four catches, maybe 50, 60 yards of that. I see Darius Haywood-Bey getting a touchdown down there against that Miami defense. On the other side, I wouldn't even think about saying the name of Ryan Tannehill on my fantasy football team. Reggie Bush is probably the only other, the one play in here, which he's probably going to get about 80 yards. I don't see him getting into a touchdown. The only other PPR machine in here would be Devon Best, who's been that for the last few years. It's probably one of the targets that Tannehill's going to attempt to throw to. But Devon Best is a wide receiver for at best. Otherwise than that, I really don't have anything good to say about this game, except that I would play the Oakland Raiders defense against this Miami offense because Miami is very bad, has a very bad offense. Let's move on to the Jets versus the Steelers. Now, I'm a man from Speculation Sports. Like the Jets to win this. I don't know. He seemed like he was hyped up on something. I have no idea why he would even think that. Especially
he's hyped
going
up
into,
on Sanchez, man. Your former quarterback. What do you mean?
Yeah,
idea. This is your former team.
Black,
what do you mean?
Black, and Jerry, that guy he's called in several times, and he's always like that. But I can see why he has a little love for the Jets in this game because the Steeler defense is a little banged up. And if Dwyer can't run on that Jets front seven, well, they're going to have to throw on Joe McKnight, who's going to be playing cornerback since Darrell Revis is out. So that's the only way they're going to win is if they expose Joe McKnight because he's a running back playing cornerback. So I'm just saying.
That's crazy.
I just think I don't like
Sanchez in this spot. The Jets don't play well against a physical team, and Pittsburgh's a physical team. They and I know this from experience. They get intimidated, And for the most part, I don't think Sanchez is going to perform well against the pass rush that Pittsburgh is going to give him, especially the defensive coordinator with all his blitz packages. Sean Green, you can't run it on Pittsburgh now. I've seen that happen. You can't run on Pittsburgh. I think Sean Green's going to get about 80 yards. I don't believe he's going to get it in the end zone. They don't have Dustin Keller. San Antonio Holmes doesn't really scare anybody, and neither does Stephen Hill. Those guys probably about four catches, 50 yards apiece, if that. On the other end, Ben Roethlisberger, he may benefit from a non-pass rush from New York Jets. He'll probably get over 250 yards, maybe a touchdown or two. Jonathan Dwyer, I would take him over Isaac Redman. Isaac Redman is a plotter. In my opinion, Jonathan Dwyer gives me a little bit more dynamic play from the running back position. Roethlisberger relied heavily on Heath Miller last week. I see him doing the same thing again, and also the fact he's going to be thrown to Antonio Brown and Mike Wallace. These guys, I see them both probably getting a touchdown in this, especially at Antonio Brown, six catches, about 80 yards. Mike Wallace is probably five catches, probably 70 yards, somewhere around there. But I see these guys getting into the end zone. I don't know what you guys got to say, or we'll just move on.
Will we have an Antonio Brown sighting somewhere?
You will have an Antonio Brown sighting because Antonio Cromartie supposedly is going to be guarding Mike Wallace. So that means that Kyle Wilson is going to be on Antonio Brown. And if that's the case, Antonio Brown is going to be showing Kyle Wilson the back of his jersey quite a bit.
Oh, well, I would definitely enjoy that if that comes to fruition today. I would definitely enjoy it.
Wilson isn't that bad. Come on now.
He's not that good, especially speed kills. and these guys are probably these two guys are probably one of the quickest sets of wide receivers in the league. If he gets past him, if he's past him, he's leaving. He's leaving. That's it. You'd be seeing the back of his jersey and watching him go into the end zone.
So if he's even, he's leaving.
Yep. If he's even, he's leaving. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Otherwise than that, let's go to the Titans versus the Chargers. Now I need my man here. I need my man here to do something here. And I'm not talking about Jake Locker. I'm talking about Chris Johnson. They stifled Run DMC last week. I'm talking about the San Diego defense. I need Chris Johnson to stop dancing, take the 4 or 5 yards if you have him, take the big play when it's available, and show who you are, CJ2K. I need him. I drafted him in a few of my leagues. And
oh,
I'm starting to get worried, even though that was only week one. Week two, he's going up against the Chargers.
Looking like last year's scenario to you, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's okay. We'll see what happens. I see him get about 70 yards. I do see him getting into the end zone. I'm looking for him to break one. I do believe he can do this against this defense. Jake Locker doesn't scare me against this defense. He may get a passing touchdown thrown to Kenny Britt, because Kenny Britt, this is his first game back. It may open up the running lanes for CJ2K. I see Britt getting about 60 yards, four catches. Kendall Wright, 44 catches, about 50 yards. I don't see him getting into the end zone. I do see Kenny Britt getting into the end zone. On the other side, Phillip Rivers should have a pretty good game here. He may throw close to 300 yards because I don't think they'll be able to run the ball with Ronnie Brown. I don't think he's too effective, or Curtis Brinkley for that matter. So he's probably going to throw close to 300 yards and about a couple of touchdowns. He's definitely going to rely on Antonio Gates, which is about five catches, about 60 yards, and I see Antonio Gates getting into the end zone. And one of the big play wide receivers, Malcolm Floyd or Robert Meacham, doing the same. They're probably going to have the same amount of catches and the same amount of yards. It's just a matter of who gets into the end zone. Malcolm Floyd got into it last week. I'm go out on a limb. I say Robert Meacham gets in this week. Anybody want to jump in on that, or can I move on?
Move on.
Lions against the 49ers. Now, I pick an upset in this game. I picked an upset in this game. And my other half happens to be a 49ers fan, and I'm getting the worst look I can possibly get from my other half about what I just said. And believe me when I say when you get that look from a black woman, when you get that look from a black woman, you know what I'm talking about. Trust me when I say that. Anyway, let's talk about Matthew Stafford. I like Matthew Stafford in this game. He's going to probably have to throw the ball a lot because the defense of the 49ers are not going to let you run the ball, so he's going to have to throw the ball up in the air. I see him throwing for about 300 yards. I see him throwing for about 2 to 3 touchdowns in this game. He's definitely going, in my opinion, going to throw for a pick. Kevin Smith, I wouldn't play him. Brandon Pettigrew, I would play him. I think he's going to get some dump-offs because of the pass rush of the 49ers, so I think he's going to be looked at for Matthew Stafford for a bailout. So he's probably going to get about 50, 60 yards and about 5 catches. Of course, they're going to try to get the ball to Calvin Johnson. And a lot of teams have not been able to do that. 100 yards or something like that, close to it, and a touchdown. Alex Smith is not a play for me. I hate to say it. He's not a play for me in this game. I wouldn't play Alex Smith unless it's a QB2 type of situation when you play two quarterbacks. Frank Gore should be able to run against these guys. About 80 yards, I see him getting a touchdown. Vernon Davis should thrive in here too. 9 catches and probably get a touchdown. And it's a 3-way coin flip on who gets the most yards and who gets the touchdown between these 3 wide receivers, Michael Crabtree, Randy Moss, and Mario Manningham. So that's how I see it. Anybody want to jump in there and say anything, feel free.
Why would you not play Alex Smith? What's the hate against Alex Smith, especially in this spot here?
Well, in my opinion, Alex Smith is a game manager. I don't think he's going to be doing too much. I think they're going to be running the ball a lot against this.
What is the number one thing that you can do when you're running the ball a lot?
What, are you talking about play action?
Of course I'm talking about play action. Why wouldn't he hit Randy Moss or Vernon Davis or Crabtree in play action tonight? I see Alex Smith having a good game tonight.
Okay, well, I mean, you are entitled to your opinion, and I'm entitled to mine. I think they're going to run the ball because I think they're going to try to keep the ball away from the offense of the Detroit Lions, just like they did with the Packers. I think they're going to follow the same formula, try to run the ball and try to run the clock and play defense. And I think they're going to do the same thing. It only makes sense to try to run the ball and keep it away from a big play offense. So that's how I feel. Anyway, let's move on to Denver.
I'll sign you up for that trip along with Vic.
Okay. Anyway, let's move on to Denver at Atlanta Falcons. I think Peyton Manning had another good day. This is in a dome. This is ideal conditions for Peyton Manning. He's in his environment. Even though it's in a hostile environment, it's in a dome on turf. This is what Peyton been playing for 13 years. I have seen him throwing for close to 300 yards, two touchdowns. McGahee running for about 80 yards, probably getting a touchdown. Not too keen on Jacob Tammy, and I think these two wide receivers get a touchdown. Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker. I think both of these guys are going to benefit from playing on the turf with Peyton Manning on that no-huddle offense. This is going to be a high-scoring game because both these teams are going to be playing the same type of offense, a hurry-up offense, and throwing the ball all over the field. So if you have Demaryius Thomas or Eric Decker, you put them in your lineup and just hope Peyton Manning throws to whoever you have the most. On the other side, you play Matt Ryan. You do play Michael Turner, even though I'm not too keen on Michael Turner. You do play Tony Gonzalez. You know, I think he's the number one receiver. You play Julio Jones and Roddy White. Julio should have a touchdown, over 100 yards, and about 6 or 7 catches in this game. Roddy White should have about 6 catches and about 80 yards. And it's a strong possibility he gets in the end zone also, along with Tony Gonzalez. So there it is. I'm not going to go into the Thursday night game. But there it is. Laid out all the games from the Bears, Packers to the Broncos and Falcons on Monday night. Anybody got any thing that they want to say before I get out of here so I can make sure all the teams are set?
I think if you have Demaryius Thomas, you're in luck. I think Peyton is going to look to target Demaryius Thomas more than he does Eric Decker in this game.
I believe that you are in over your head, Mr. Taylor, and your wife will be right to put you on the couch because San Fran's going to win the game. And even though I'm sick, at least I have the bed, not the couch. And DeSean Jackson is starting with Jeremy Maclin. Also, Chris Bosh is going to restructure his deal in Miami. Just read it on the ticker.
Okay. That means, we'll see what happens with those two because they are pretty much were limited or didn't practice all week. So we'll see what happens. I know Sean Jackson's dealing with a groin or a ham, Macklin's dealing with a hip flexor or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, see. Good luck dealing with those guys because anything can happen in the game and they can be out for the rest of the game. That's playing with fire there.
Well, you're playing anyway. With fire since you're playing me this week. You didn't want to talk about that, did you?
Well, we could talk. If you would like to talk about it, Mr. Gardner, and your sick self thinking that I didn't want to overburden you because.
What league is this?
Well, this is the ESPN league.
Wait a minute. I'm the host. Let me set this up. This is the league that I'm never humble, always talking. This is the league I'm the league champion. And Let me finish. This is the league. I'm 0-1 right now, and looks like I may be 0-2. But it's still a second week. Things can change. You never know. The estimate on what I should be getting in points versus what Mr. Vic should be getting in points is not dramatic, but it's enough to think that Vic's got a strong shot in winning the game, and I may go 0-2, and he'll have bragging rights for a week. But
41 points. That's what the spread is. 41 points.
41 for 40. You?
For me.
That computer needs to be put down as well.
Yes, I agree with you fully, Black. I agree with you fully, but we'll wait and see what happens. Let the games get played out up until Monday. And we'll see what happens, and we'll see what the end result is. Now, I've said what I want to say. Go ahead, Mr. Vic, and espouse your garbage.
Oh, no, it's no garbage. I was just saying that you better hope CJ2K has a very good game, because if he doesn't, and my team does, you're in trouble.
Like I said, it's only week two. If I go 0-2, that's fine. It's only week two. That's fine. You know, I could be a repeat champion, or I could be a member of the NFC South from first to last. You never know.
I really think it's that one.
I drafted well, but things may not just work out. And if they don't work out, it is what it is. I can't do anything about it. I just put my lineup every week out there and see what happens. That's all I can do. With that being said, I'm asking for you guys to give me your final thoughts before we get out of here and we can enjoy these games. I'll go with the sick one first, and then I'll end it with Black.
The sick one, huh? Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Master Plan. He's never humble, always talking. He hasn't been doing that this week. So apparently he's been put in his place. But I really, really enjoy his synopsis of the games. If his synopsis is correct, that means he will be destroyed this week, because all the players he said will have phenomenal games are on my team that I'm playing him against. So we shall see. So I hope his synopsis is spot on, because I will destroy him and enjoy it. Other than that, you know, enjoy your fantasy football week. I missed week one because I had to work. Week two, I'm sick, but I get to watch some football. So you guys enjoy your games and your day. Go ahead, Black.
Black?
Well, hopefully the other co-host gets well soon. Sounds like you're suffering from East and West Germans. Hopefully you're taking some good medicine over there. To my opponent in the Parlay Palace, Mr. Ricky. I understand you were complaining about a bad week in week one. We're sorry for that schedule again. We apologize for
whatever.
That. But, this week two is not a cakewalk at all. It's not a cakewalk. Don't be surprised on Monday when you see an L in your column there. And not for win, but for a loss.
If week one was not a bye week, by the way. I had the fourth highest score. He had the third highest score. So
I told you, in my league, we don't care about more victories, high score,
thank
second,
you.
Third.
Thank
none
you.
Of that stuff matters in my league.
Absolutely,
oh,
Black. The only thing that matters is if you have a W or an L.
Tell them.
That's,
I understand
that's,
you're
that's
a newbie to the league.
Matters.
I understand that. You're acting like a newbie to the league with Mr. Taylor will keep you straight. He'll let you know the rules of the palace.
Oh, wow.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. And with that and with that being said, this is going to be apropos for all those losers that are having a rematch or whatever. This is going to be apropos. Black, you can relate to this. See ya.
Get back. Payback. Payback.